You're listening to The Voice of Central Illinois, AM 1230 WJBC, with Scott Lachlan and Kevin Bessler setting up the microphone for our next guest. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome him. He's the interim city manager, City of Bloomington, Steve Rasmussen. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Scott. Always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, surely you jest.
Not at all.
Hey, last night, council meeting, you had a couple of meetings yesterday, right? It was a long day for you. 5 o'clock meeting?
And we then did. We had a special meeting at 5 o'clock, and then we had the regular meeting at 7.
All right. Let's go back to Saturday, though.
Sure.
Saturday, you guys gathered and passed a budget.
Well, no, we will actually vote on the budget the first meeting in April, be April 9th.
Oh.
And at the next meeting, which is March 26th, actually, I'm going to ask the council to let us know what changes they would like us to put into the budget. And based on that, we'll finish the final budget for voting on April 9th. But we got good guidance on Saturday morning, and the staff knows where we're headed with this now.
So do you see any big cuts? You know, Normal cut $20 million out of their budget, and theirs isn't even as big as yours. Are we going to see cuts like that drastic?
No, we had a deficit of about $3 million that we have closed.
All right.
Now, part of that was that I think some of our neighboring municipalities had some personnel cuts, and that is a big issue because the budget is about 65% personnel. We do not envision any personnel cuts, but what we're looking at is taking about $500,000 out of the budget in vacancy savings, and that is there are just positions that will come open that we will not fill, and we'll be very judicious in how we do that, so we'll move positions that we can at least cover. Every position we've got is essential. I don't want to have anybody say we're going to take out non-essential positions. That long ago has passed by. All of the positions we've got are essential, but it is a question of priorities and how we can fill in for those people that we don't fill.
You just added a position.
No, we didn't.
You didn't vote on that last night?
Nope.
Oh.
Now, what I will say is we did not add a position. That is a position that has been gone unfilled for many years. So we didn't add it. We just filled a position.
You're adding a salary, though, aren't you?
Well, it's in the budget. It's when we go back to vacancy savings, it's like the $500,000 worth that we're going to save. We're going to save them by not filling those positions, and this is kind of the reverse of it. It's already budgeted, and so we had filled it. So that is not the same as adding a position.
Okay. I stand corrected.
Well, I know it's a close thing to talk about because you are right. We will be paying a position that we haven't paid before.
And let's talk about the position we're talking about. This is basically a fundraiser for the BCPA, right?
A development director, right.
And what's the development director's job?
Well, it is to help produce more shows. It is to find more fundraising avenues. It's to increase the ability of the BCPA to do its job.
Okay. All right. So the budget's going to be voted on in April.
April 9th.
All right. Hey, to talk about real quick, if you can, the burden placed upon municipalities to pay off the pensions, pay for the pensions. We had a story this morning. Was it Alton?
Yes.
Alton is selling their water treatment facility to help pay for pensions down there with police and fire. Who in the heck are they selling their water treatment plant to? How do you sell a water treatment plant?
Well, the only thing I know about that is what I heard from you on the radio this morning.
Oh, can't be believed.
So so you're the source that I would quote, but I would guess you sell it to a private company like Missouri American Water, I guess.
Then Alton would then basically pay a fee for their water treatments?
Sure. Sure. Okay. Lots of cities do that.
Oh, do they? Okay. Oh,
I would say we're in the minority of cities who own their own water treatment plant. Most companies get it from a commercial entity.
Well, hey there. What do you think we could get for ours?
I don't know. I don't think we could sell it to anybody who could run it any better than Bob Yale's running
right.
the water department
so
right
say,
now.
We could put it on eBay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I would like to go on record as saying that we have a program which will have our pensions funded fully by 2040. So we're on a program to do that. So.
Okay. It won't be in my lifetime.
No, it could be in your life.
Yeah, at least there's light at the end of the tunnel, though.
I need to take better care of myself. That's okay. going to be the case. Let's talk about the conversation you had last night with these property owners. This is on the heels of the big fire.
Sure.
I'm amazed that fines weren't issued before. What's your philosophy on that, the city's philosophy? Don't fine them, just make sure the problems get fixed.
Well,
but that's going to change, isn't it?
I think that the guidance that we got last night from the council was, yes, that we'd like to take a harder view in municipal court towards chronic offenders. In the past, the philosophy has generally been to seek compliance. You can seek compliance in a number of ways, and that is by reinspecting and putting other kinds of time limits on them. But also you can do it by punishing people by just increasing fines on it. And I think we'll have those discussions to see where we want to move in that direction. But I think we got the guidance from the council that we're going to start taking a harder line in administrative court to chronic offenders.
If I own an apartment building, and let's say I've got a six-unit building, how often does that get inspected by the city?
Well, it depends. And the reason I say that is if it's a good unit and we've not had any problems with it and you always maintain it in good shape, it will probably get inspected by ordinance every 3 years.
Okay.
But one thing that that Bob Mart, the community development director, said last night is there is no reason that we can't inspect them more frequently if they're a chronic offender. It only takes a director to ask that to be done. So,
well, you've got a lot of rental properties in Bloomington. What, 12,000, something like that?
Yes, I saw that number last night about that. Yeah,
and you only have two inspectors.
That's right.
All right.
They work hard and they inspect fast.
I was going to say, I'm trying to do the math. How many can they hit in a day?
Yeah. Well, you can do the math. I'd have to go back and figure that out.
So maybe it's a conversation for the director, but when they go through an inspection, I imagine smoke alarms, smoke detectors are, you know, one of the things they look at. But what are some of the other things they're looking for?
I've been out with them on a number of times, and they have their code that they go by. So they look at all of those things, but also there is, you know, questions of general livability of the building. The code will look at water and electricity and drywall and windows and doors. But I'll tell you what, a good thing to do is why don't we get one of our inspectors in here, and you can have a little program. They could show you all about that.
Ooh, let's go.
I'll make a note.
You give
here.
Me a name, and we'll contact somebody.
Yeah, I think you'd enjoy that.
The trip out here and the trip back, that's two places they're not going to be able to inspect that day.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll make sure they have a little extra time that day.
All right. Take a walk around this place.
Yeah, let me see. We could take
We're getting work done now.
I heard that.
And we had the question. I listened to Mr. Karch's comments this morning on our newscast about the Tawanda Barnes Ireland Grove Road intersection, and he witnessed a guy that took 4 minutes to get through the intersection. And first thing I thought was, ha, that's every day for me on Veterans Parkway at a red light on a left-hand turn. He should drive around with me one day. And this is not even during drive time. We threw the question out on Facebook. What's the longest stoplight in Bloomington Normal? And how many responses did we get so far?
26 comments.
26 comments. Is there one in particular that's sticking out amongst all the rest?
Veterans and Lincoln got a lot of replies. People agree with that one. Prospect and Empire. Empire and Regency.
And where's yours, the one that some guy agreed with you?
Dry Grove in North Main by ISU there.
Now, are these where people spend the longest amount of time at the light,
at
where the light is the stop?
Yeah.
It wouldn't necessarily be the amount of time the light remains green or red, which is set on a timer.
Right.
It's where you think the longest time is. And, of course, that is time dependent. It depends on the time of day, of course. When you come into work, you probably don't have that problem.
I just blow every red light anyway. Well, I'm the only one on the road, me and the cops.
Give me some times and places where you do that.
I do not do that. Because I assume every car out on the street at that time of the day, they're either up to no good or they're the police.
Yes.
So.
Well, let me go back to those to the intersections, though. Those are not just by happenstance. We have a traffic engineer in the staff who works for Kevin Coth, the city engineer, who watches all of those things all the time. And what you try to do is you try to manage those so that you get the most efficiency out of what you've got. And there are rush hour times, which are problems, but I want to let you know that we're looking at that all the time to try and make it as efficient as possible.
All right, and you're going to spend some money on this Tawanda Barnes
right.
Ireland Grove Road intersection. Well, I thought it was a dead deal a couple of weeks ago.
No. What had happened was the originally the city and the county had entered into an intergovernmental agreement to split the costs, but the costs were anticipated to be kind of about less than $500,000 a piece. When the final project came in, it was budgeted at about $1.8 million. So that was about twice as much money as we had originally agreed on. So what we did was we went back one time to see if we could do that project by reducing the scope of it and using some of our own money. And that did not pass at the city council on a split vote. So we went back and we looked at it to re-engineer the project to come back with a different project. And so that different project was taken back to the council last night at considerably less money, and that was acceptable to the council, and so that's what passed.
A little more palatable. And Jim Cart said that work on this is going to start pretty soon.
Yes, and one of the reasons we were moving along on it so quickly was because there was some time sensitivity to it, because we wanted to get the work done in this summer's building season.
All right. And there was one other thing you wanted to talk about.
Yep, that's the Friends of the BCPA Memorandum of Understanding that we have worked on for a number of years.
All right.
And what happens is the Friends of the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts are a 501c3 organization, which is a not-for-profit organization specifically to do fundraising. And what they want to do is they want to raise private money to fix the Creativity Center. And the Creativity Center has a lot of potential, but it needs a lot of work. The city council does not want to spend taxpayers' dollars fixing up that Creativity Center any more than what we've already spent in it. So the 501c3 is organized to raise the money and to do the work to fix it up, to do things like having the dance studios and the music halls in there and all of that sort of thing. But in order to do that, they wanted to have an agreement with the city. And we've been struggling with getting that just right for a long time. I mean, it's been sitting out there for a year or two for sure. And they wanted to get on with the business of repairing and maintaining the Creativity Center. They already have about $1 million raised to go to work on that. So they're ready to move forward, and they're awaiting the city council's agreement on it. And so last night they did get a memorandum of understanding with some amendments on it that passed the city council. That'll now go back to the Friends, and they will then have to vote on it. Then we'll have an agreement where those private funds then can be raised to fix the Creativity Center.
And this Creativity Center is right across the street from the BCPA, right?
Right, a block to the north.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Kevin, you know where that is?
Yes.
I'm directionally illiterate. I'll figure it out.
Well, we'll be glad to take you down and show you that sometime. And I'll tell you, all the kids that are in there that are dancing and acting and playing and the barbershop quartet and all those different things that go in and use those facilities. And now the Friends of the BCPA are going to be go to work on helping us to renovate that.
And no taxpayer dollars.
No taxpayer dollars are going to be used for the renovation of it.
What does that mean?
Well,
you said the way you worded that.
Yeah,
it was kind of sneaky there.
Well,
you know what I'm saying.
The it's predictions are tough, you know, especially about the future.
Uh-huh.
So it's tough to commit things. But, for example, there's some debt service that is involved in that. The city still will be paying the debt service for when we bought that. The funds that are being raised are the funds that are being raised for the facilities upgrade.
Okay. You've got a future in politics, the way you answered that question initially.
Well, I just want to be careful about that.
All right. Let's go back to Saturday again. You guys, you're going through the budget. Was there anything newsworthy that came out of that session?
Well,
are you going to raise our gasoline taxes or anything like that?
Well,
paper roads.
I don't know, because that remains to be seen. What happens is there are two pieces of this. One piece is the thing that we've been talking about now for 3 or 4 years, and that's a capital improvement plan. What do you do in 5, 10, or 20 years to make major capital improvements to the city? And that requires a funding source, and that's an issue that that we'll be talking with the council about in the coming months, because we have to find out what is your appetite for new projects versus what is your stomach for getting new sources of revenue. And that's a tough issue. That's a little bit separate from the budget, and we'll be talking about that. A raise of the potential raise in fuel tax is a possibility for how to fix roads.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a long-term capital project. The actual budget that we're going to vote on the 9th has smaller items in it, and we're working to close that gap now, and we'll bring those items back to the city council on the next council meeting. But it includes a number of cuts and a number of new revenue sources, and we'll balance those two things out.
Talking with interim city manager Steve Rasmussen on WJBC at 23 minutes after 8. This move with gasoline tax, we're all sitting around waiting for the federal government to make a move. And then the state could make a move. Would that affect how you deal with a gasoline tax if they move first?
Well, it all might, because you don't know how much gasoline tax you want to raise. We were in Washington, D.C. last week, and with one voice, and Senator Dick Durbin addressed that issue, and he was talking about that federal gasoline tax. His feeling was that there was not any enthusiasm at the federal level to raise a gasoline tax. I don't know where they are on that at the state, but it is certainly an option here at the city, because the number one refrain that we hear all the time is fix the streets. Well, you can't fix the streets without money.
Okay. Now, you met Saturday, so this – excuse me, I put a lozenge in my mouth. You met Saturday. Was there any conversation about the situation at State Farm and the people losing their jobs and how that could affect budget talks?
No.
No conversation about the layoffs at State
Farm?
No concern?
I didn't say there wasn't any concern.
But nobody commented on it.
I didn't. It was not a subject to conversation on Saturday morning.
All right. And finally, I have a list here that came out, Wallet Hub, they do one every day, of the happiest cities in the USA.
Yeah.
The top five.
Number two is Bismarck, North Dakota.
Yes. Do you have experience in Bismarck?
I do. I've got great family friends in Bismarck, North Dakota. I'm going to call them today and ask how happy they are.
Oh, yeah. I felt like calling like a Casey's and seeing how happy they were.
But I'm surprised that Bloomington isn't in the top five, because I'm very happy here.
That's what I was going to ask you. What if you could wave a magic wand, what would you do to get Bloomington on the top 10 list of the happiest cities in the USA? Paved the streets with gold. We take care of two problems at once.
Well,
we'd have gold, and the streets would be paved.
I'll tell you what. What you hear from so many people, and my perspective is different because I'm dealing with different things all the time. But I'll tell you what: if we could get some of those major projects done without raising any taxes or revenue, we'd have a lot of people be very happy. But that's kind of sprinkling fairy dust on it.
Maybe if I win $500 million.
When you win the lottery, let us know.
What do you need? What would it take to fix all the roads? I think I asked Jim Karch this once. To get them all done, if you could do it, and it's like, is it $30 million? Something like that?
No, but I don't think that's the answer. I think the answer is $10 million a year.
All right.
Because, you know, if you do something like you want to rebuild O'Neill Pool, okay, you rebuild it, and it's rebuilt for the period of time it takes to pay off the loan. The problem with the streets is it doesn't work that way. They're continually deteriorating, and so you have to be continually working. It's a forever problem.
Yeah.
So you need a forever revenue source.
When they expanded Veterans Parkway from 2 to 3 lanes, by the time they got it done, they were ready to resurface the beginning all over again, I think.
Well, that is simply the way of all flesh.
I know. All right, Steve Rasmussen, good talking to you. We'll do it again. Anything else you want to hit?
Yes, I just want to let you know that it's a great day to be in city government and a great day to be in the city of Bloomington.
All right. There's one happy. One happy. We'll get another boat here.